When it comes to stubborn belly fat, we're all searching for a miracle pill. Generally, you have to use multiple products that target belly fat differently to manage excess weight around the stomach. Some products may focus on abdominal exercises or dietary changes, while others might focus on boosting metabolism or controlling cravings. But believe it or not, I may have found a solution that removes the need for juggling through multiple weight management products. It's called Belly Trim, and it's more effective at targeting belly fat, enhancing metabolism, and promoting a toned midsection better than most weight management products I've seen typically found on store shelves. Tens of thousands of five-star reviews back up the notion that Belly Trim is not only a breakthrough in a bottle, but that it also removes the need for us to use countless diet pills and fat-burning supplements. But there's more. If you place your order for Belly Trim now, you'll also receive 51% off, free VIP live health and fitness coaching for life, two free new ebooks titled Top 10 Foods That Burn Belly Fat and Top 10 Exercises to Reduce Belly Fat, a 60-day satisfaction guarantee, and last but not least, free shipping. Simply go to www.trimwithus.com. That's www.trimwithus.com to take advantage of this limited-time deal before they sell out. Once again, that's www.trimwithus.com. Order now. Violent crime across the U.S. has skyrocketed. Just recently, a politician was carjacked by three armed attackers outside his home in Washington, D.C. This comes several months after another politician was assaulted in the elevator of her building. Between mass shootings, kidnappings, burglaries, and carjackings, it's never been more vital to learn how to protect yourself. This is why tens of thousands are choosing the Fighter Flare flashlight. The Fighter Flare flashlight has awed people with a wonderful design and massive light output. On top of an ultra-bright 800-lumen light, it boasts powerful strobe lighting modes for self-defense, a glass-breaking hammer, a built-in power bank, solar-powered recharging, rope cutter, siren, and much more. Countless five-star reviews back up the notion that this flashlight is the latest and greatest in the EDC market. But there's more. If you place your order for the Fighter Flare flashlight now, you'll also receive 66% off, free express shipping, and last but not least, a 100% lifetime guaranteed replacement. Simply go to www.fighterflare.com to take advantage of this limited-time deal before they sell out. www.fighterflare.com. Order now.
Something wicked is coming this way, and only fools are ignoring the signs. So it's time you became a financial prepper like thousands of others. Gold can travel anywhere. It's international. It's its own currency. Allocate to gold now, the timeless safe haven asset. Open an IRA with Noble Gold Investments to physically hold coins and bars, and let real, tangible gold, not just paper, save your portfolio as the economy burns again. Right now, Noble Gold Investments offers a free 3-ounce silver American Virtue coin with every qualified IRA. Just use the promo code GOLD to claim your free coin and secure your family's financial future. Go to NobleGoldInvestments.com now. NobleGoldInvestments.com.
Past performance may not be indicative of future results. Investing in precious metals, including gold, involves risks. Consult with your tax attorney or financial professional before making an investment decision.
So, full credit to you, man. Congratulations. That's such a great call. I mean, this is the way. I heard someone call it the era of base stakes. Is what we're headed into, because this is the way. And Florida is one of the few states, if someone says they moved to Florida over New Hampshire, I'm like, all right, but if people, you know, check them out, I mean, you know, New Hampshire's got to be on the list for people if you're thinking about moving. As well, if you're a libertarian specifically, by the way, like, I, you know, we're not 100, but I think we have lots of Christian libertarians. In fact, actually, you want a little culture war drama?
Please.
Story.
Absolutely.
This is one we're going through right now. Okay. So
welcome back, everyone, once again to another episode of Red Pill News. I hope you guys are having a lovely day. You know, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness are the tenets of the United States of America. This is what we are promised as our God-given rights. And one of the easiest and most successful applications of all three of those things has to be the state of New Hampshire. New Hampshire is not a particularly densely populated state, but they have a major libertarian constituency there. And my guest today, Jeremy Kaufman, is the libertarian candidate for Senate in the state of New Hampshire. Jeremy stopped by earlier this morning. We had a conversation for about an hour, and you may or may not have heard of him, but I'm going to give you a little introduction to Jeremy and why I chose to have him here on the show. Jeremy appears to be somebody who's not only fighting corruption, but also fighting for life, liberty, and that pursuit of happiness for the people of New Hampshire. So do me a favor, sit back, relax, and grab your popcorn, and we'll be right back after this. All right, if you are hearing me right now, then you're listening to the audio version of the podcast, and I felt it necessary to put a little disclaimer in for those of you who would be listening that way. Included in this video are two political ads that Jeremy produced that are so clearly humorous and meant to be satire. However, even in the video version of these ads, which to me were very obviously not serious, I got a number of comments from people saying that they were very upset that I would elevate someone who believes in climate change, and probably even people who think that Jeremy really wants to make the military gay. These two positions are actually things that are held by people on the left, and if you were to see the video version of these ads, then I thought it would be very obvious that he wasn't being serious. However, it appears that no one has a sense of humor nowadays, and especially not in America, which is really sad to me. So I wanted to make sure that I included this disclaimer so that if you're listening at home, you remember and you recognize before listening to those ads, it's all a joke. But he is a serious candidate for Senate in New Hampshire.
I'm Jeremy Kaufman, candidate for U.S. Senate, and we're here deep in the New Hampshire forest. And it might not be here in 4 to 6 weeks because we haven't done enough about climate change. Look at this, I mean, all around you. These leaves used to be green. Will they ever be green again? Even scientists can't answer deep questions like that. That's a rare forest species. If we had a tax on gasoline, that would still be alive right now. It's raining right now, you know, and the climate's changing. If we didn't have global warming, this would be snow. This would be snow. And one of the things I join the Democrats and Republicans in saying is that we need to work with Bill Gates to blot out the sun. It's the only way. If we don't partner with Bill Gates to blot out the sun, the Earth will literally explode. That's called climate change. You see this? That's a dead branch.
The solution is to vote for me. I will take your money. I will give it to people that I know, but they're going to be totally cool. You can trust me, and that's why I'm running for U.S. Senate. Jeremy Kaufman for U.S. Senate. Do your part. Send money. It helps. I promise.
I'm serious.
All right. Welcome back, everyone, once again to another episode of Red Pill News. As always, I'm your host, Zach Payne, the corruption detector. And joining me today is a man that I am extremely excited to speak to. His name is Jeremy Kaufman. He's the CEO of Odyssey and Library, and he's also running for Senate in New Hampshire as an independent, if I'm not mistaken. Right, Jeremy?
As a libertarian.
Oh, that's even better. Okay, as a libertarian. Okay, good stuff. Thank you for the correction. All right, well, first of all, you know, thank you very much for agreeing to do the interview. It's been a long time coming. I reached out over a year ago sometime on a separate matter, and I was pleasantly surprised to see that you were now able to do this. So thanks again for being here.
Yeah, it's great. It's great to be here. That we were, you know, being tight-lipped about some things at that time. That was the only reason I wasn't able to speak to you then. It's not my style. I think people know that.
Yeah.
I wish, you know, I never really want to be that way. I wish we could always just be laying our cards out on the table. That's the way I wish things were. But, you know, from time to time, that's, you know, that's not always possible. So.
Well, I absolutely understand, especially considering the exact nature of what that issue was. If you don't mind, as the CEO of an independent video distribution platform that is based on a crypto backbone, you guys were dealing with a suit from the SEC. Can you give us any update as to how that has been disposed, if it's something that you guys are still dealing with?
That's right. Although I should be clear that around 9 months, maybe longer, Odyssey has been a separate company.
Okay.
And it's not being actively managed by Library. So I am working on Library. Separate team of people is working on Odyssey.
Okay.
Odyssey, of course, uses the Library technology underneath. Library is the company being sued by the SEC. It's an absolutely a crazy case. I don't know how detailed you want to get into it, but there's,
please go for it.
The SEC, what the SEC is alleging here is that the Library token is a security. The facts that they're alleging make it a security are so broad that it would include basically every cryptocurrency token. This is not just my opinion. This is the opinion of John Deaton, Preston Byrne, other attorneys in the space that are independent people. It's a really, quite frankly, dangerous case for the cryptocurrency industry. And we're getting pretty close to the judge deciding it. Most likely, a single judge is going to decide it all on his own. So there's not going to be an actual trial. This isn't guaranteed. He might send it to a trial. That's what we're going to find out very soon. We're basically at that stage now where the judge is going to be making a decision soon. And so we're all kind of waiting for what that is. The judge has shown himself to be somewhat skeptical of the government. Like, he was not just buying what the government was saying. Mm-hmm. He honestly seemed genuinely confused or struggling. And not because he had no idea of what cryptocurrency was. I think he was making a pretty good effort there. But he felt like he was being asked to interpret this law in a way that was really unclear. These kinds of is a hot dog a sandwich type questions. I'm serious. That is it's kind of like that, right? You've got this law that's 90 years old, right? And now you're being asked, does it apply to this? So you had a law that said that was written about sandwiches. And then someone invented the hot dog. And now maybe those were someone out there. One of your listeners out there is like, those were invented in the opposite order. And they're very mad at it. It doesn't apply. And that is true. So we could get into the weeds, and there's all these tests, and they go through all this history and all these cases. But the judge is literally in court, and both sides are being look at this case, and this precedent was established. And then the other side's saying, look at this case. And he's like, but that doesn't work, because he really does feel like he doesn't know, which is very interesting. Because to me, as I'm not an expert on the law, but to me, I'm like, well, if the judge doesn't understand the law, shouldn't I just be winning at this point? if this guy is scratching his head, having read hundreds of pages of both sides and being like, this sure is confusing. That seems to me maybe the way the government works, that's a not guilty, yeah. And then it's the government's job to pass a clearer law, at which point I was following, I was never, that's the other thing that pisses me off a lot. I was never a fan of government, but I have not been trying to push the envelope here. Mm-hmm. I've been trying to button it up and do it the right way in the hopes of avoiding this kind of situation. I think what kind of got me is that I naively was pretty transparent about stuff. I come from a sort of open source type ethos of putting things, out there. And I think the government was like, look at this idiot.
He just gave us a bunch of material, Jeremy. Well, so, what you just said there, the precedent we're looking at here is a 90-year-old case. It seems absolutely ridiculous on its face that they could use this very modern day circumstance, which really is unprecedented. I mean, cryptocurrency is rather new, not too new, but certainly a lot newer than 90 years. And you have to think that there's absolutely no way, when the legislators made that law 90 years ago, that they ever could have envisioned something like a cryptocurrency or even the crypto space at all. I mean, the internet certainly wasn't a thing. I mean, probably not even amongst the military and the government.
Yeah, I mean, it's very frustrating. And I'm guessing I'm guessing that with a channel name of, Red Pill News, that your audience is probably not particularly keen on government, or, sort of buys into a lot of the
bad government.
But it's they do, that sort of naive idea that they actually, you know, do things or have your interests. You know, it's like, no, they can't even, I mean, like, they can't even make laws. I just think about how just like, not even like it's literally dysfunction. Largely,
truly.
Like, yes, there's the sociopathy and the actual you know, the actual like evil or bad people out there, but a lot of it's just like just pure dysfunction. I mean, the look at how old blockchain is and how little they can't pass a law, they can't create rules. Like, it's all it does feel like, I mean, I don't know. I don't know what it was like. Yeah, I didn't go through it in that firsthand way, but it feels really dysfunctional. Like, if we're supposed to be the best government, you know, the best country or whatever, like, wow, like, because this is a pretty terrible process. This is like a pretty awful system.
Yeah.
You know.
Oh, I absolutely agree with you, and I'm sure the audience does as well. I mean, it's pretty obvious that the United States government has become so bloated and overly complicated by design, not only to confuse the general public and kind of, you know, blow smoke in their faces so we don't really understand what's going on, but then also for the people who become our elected representatives, Congress and Senate, the process itself is hampering the government's ability to get anything done. But then at the same time, they show us time and time again, anytime there is something that they want to get done for perhaps their large donors or, you know, a friendly nation or even China at this point, they really get in there and they hammer it out. And it doesn't take all that long. The only the only time they have a problem is when they're actually representing the American people or when they have an issue that they need to decide that will benefit us in some positive way.
Yeah, they're completely, the one thing they're completely unified on is giving a bunch of money to Ukraine.
Oh, yes.
Endless money for you. That complete unity, do that as fast as possible. Yeah, it's a clown world for sure.
Crazy. So yeah. With regard to the SEC choosing you guys, do you have any indication as to why they decided to go after Library? I mean, I was on Library almost as soon as it started. I really valued the service and you know, the evolution into Odyssey, because, you know, I was one of those channels that got deleted off of YouTube pretty early on, right before the 2020 election, talking about the Hunter Biden laptop. They immediately pulled the plug, and the writing was on the wall for a while. But I had joined Library before that happened because I knew that this was coming at some point. Why do you think they chose you guys when there is all these various projects based on blockchain that were even there before?
So my honest answer in terms of how and when they opened the case, I think actually has much more to do with the fact that we basically made it very easy. Like, we were being really transparent. We were publishing like spreadsheets and documents about how we were using all the company's, you know, cryptocurrency, and, you know, we thought we were compliant with the legal advice that we had received, and we thought we were doing, and we thought by being like the good guys, you know, that they would at least like go after us like later, you know, or give us time or be reasonable with us, you know, which was never how they treated us. But anyway, I think that in terms of how it started, right, in the time that it was, you know, we're talking about like 2017 would have been when they first started looking at us. The boss, the head of the SEC, says, it's time to start looking into these companies. And you, as the regulator, you know, boss says, go look into blockchain companies. So what do you do, right? Like, you've probably never even looked into blockchain before. You probably never looked at it, right? So you open your computer, you go to Google or whatever. Maybe, you know, someone's going to prepare some report. I don't know how it actually works. But the point is, when we put all this information out there, very, very easy to start investigating this, right? Because there's all this information.
Right.
So I think it started that way, just for that reason. Just that in terms of why they've been so hard on us, because that's another thing that a lot of people say. It's like it was in the Real Clear Politics article and these other articles, I think maybe Forbes. But it's like, why are they going after this company? Like, of all the ones to be, you know, why would you make an example of Library, right? Because it doesn't make sense. Right. We've tried to do it the right way. We didn't even like non-legal factors, like, did we pay ourselves a bunch of large salaries and so on, which shouldn't legally speaking affect whether or not it's a security. But we didn't even do stuff like that. Like, we've been good guys, right? We've been good people. We've been trying to build We've been doing things the right way. I think that does have to do with what we do. Not even in it doesn't even have to be a conspiracy. This SEC is full of center left authoritarian regulator type mindset. Everything should be under the government's control. Everything needs to be, you know, seen and tracked, and like, you know, we've got to stop the back. And like, so they see us and they see 3D printed guns and COVID misinformation and, you know, whatever. And they think that stuff is all bad and wrong. So I think like they do sort of have us out for us. I have it out for us. Maybe there's some grander, pressure or things to play. How would I know that? But I think that it totally just like, even without that, like, why wouldn't they not like us? Mm-hmm. Right. They have the complete mindset, you know, let's get these guys, you know, look at how I conduct myself. Although I've partially done that in response, right? Because it's like, you know, what else? That's one of the few plays I have. But yeah,
absolutely. You know, it seemed to me to be just a very misguided decision on behalf of the government, because, you know, what you guys have been able to accomplish and implement seems like it could very easily be used as a template on how to do this right. You know, there are so many crypto projects out there that are just straight rug pulls, okay? People committing massive amounts of fraud. I just lost all of my crypto in the Celsius bankruptcy, thanks to what happened with Luna. You know, it's troubling, and so many people have been taken advantage of. And there were plenty of different projects out there that, in my opinion, were essentially acting as securities, giving financial information, and then just taking all of that money and running. And I don't see the government going after those people. And so it fascinates me. You know, and I have to be honest, Jeremy, I considered the fact that perhaps it also had a fair amount to do with the fact that you guys are really promoting free speech. You are promoting the ability for people to have an open and honest conversation. In America, it used to be that your speech was protected. You could go out there, whether it was online or in person, and say what you think or what you believe, no matter how despicable it might be. This is America. People don't have to listen. But thanks to a platform like yours, you've created the ability for people to go out there and to not have to be afraid about what they're saying online for fear of getting deplatformed.
Yeah, it's insane. It's insane. And I'm sure you say plenty of things on your channel mm-hmm. that I would disagree with. And sure. It's like, so what? So what?
Yep.
Like, that's what you think, and you want to say those things. Who can? And like, how could that be? How could that be bad? How did we get to this place in America where like that could be bad? I mean, you saw like Reuters wrote this article, did this an investigation series, like a deep, like not just a blurb, an article of the day. They spent months on this article. Did you see this one come out about?
Specifically. Inform me.
Oh, so my face specifically, they used it for the cover of the article. I was on the homepage of Reuters.com, and the title was SkewTube : How New Breed of Something Sites Thrive on Misinformation and Hate.
Right.
Was the title, and it was about BitChute and Odyssey was the article was about. And me specifically, by the way.
Or after you announced?
This article came out on Monday. So this article came out 4 days ago. So been all over. Yeah,
okay.
It's been a fun week. Yeah.
Well, what a fortuitous time then for us to be doing this. You know, I've been traveling for the last couple of weeks. I had a couple of different events that I went to in different parts of the country. So,
A smart, educated man. You're not reading Reuters. You're obviously not going on to. You're obviously not going on to Twitter. You're doing a great job. I mean, this is how you stay informed. So, congratulations.
Thank you, sir. Absolutely. So, you know, I obviously what you're doing there in New Hampshire. I mean, you talk about speaking truth to power. This is something that the left frequently likes to invoke. But then at the same time, those people are sycophants to the tyrannical United States government and some of the most corrupt people in the world. Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, George Soros, the World Health Organization. I mean, all of them, people just swallow this stuff. Meanwhile, you know, and Ukraine is an excellent example of this as well. People are united behind this idea that funneling money into a black hole in Eastern Europe is a good idea. You know, you're all of the subjects you are addressing and that you're talking about, and your ads especially. You know, it's a revelation, and it's something that is, I just absolutely love seeing it. From a candidate, somebody who's being honest and who is speaking about these things that traditional politicians either, you know, have one view or another, or they just won't touch it with a 10-foot pole because they want to get people into the voting booth before they find out what they really believe. So how much did the SEC case against you guys have to play into your decision to run for Senate there in New Hampshire?
It definitely influenced me that, because it's just another way that you can, you know, make a difference, you know, or have some leverage. I wouldn't say it was like the primary factor, but it was like definitely a positive factor. And, you know, I'm running as a libertarian, which means that you've got to try to do, you know, something different, right? It is always that like David versus Goliath, you know, type of thing. And so trying to just like, you know, have some fun for it, put out some interesting messages. You've got to get something, you know, I can't win by ad buys, right? So I've got to get something. I've got to find ways of kind of like getting attention, you know, or doing something different. And it's been kind of fun. I've never done it before, but it's been kind of fun. So,
New Hampshire, I mean, they have a fairly large libertarian voting bloc there. Is that correct?
That's right. It's why I live in New Hampshire. In fact, I'm a member of this group called the Free State Project, which is this idea that libertarians can win by concentrating in New Hampshire. There's thousands of us. If you follow the Free State Project on Twitter, you'll see some things happen in New Hampshire that don't really happen anywhere else. Like we have a network of like clubhouses, and there are people that actually have street protests against libertarians. Because the libertarians actually control a decent amount of the state government, all through the Republican Party, to be clear, not through the Libertarian Party.
But
I'm a very big proponent of the Free State Project. To be honest, it is another reason that I'm running. One reason among many is that like I like talking about the Free State Project, talking about New Hampshire, and I want it to be a loud and proud, you know, New Hampshire candidate, you know. I think that I don't like apologizing for like who I am and what I believe. And I think rarely in life have people, gotten much of anywhere by going around apologizing, you know, mm-hmm. for who they are and what they what they believe. So.
Well, I mean, it's certainly something that's refreshing in a candidate for any office. I mean.
When it comes to stubborn belly fat, we're all searching for a miracle pill which may never exist. But believe it or not, I may have found the next best thing. It's called Belly Trim, and it's more effective at targeting belly fat, enhancing metabolism, and promoting a toned midsection better than most weight management products I've seen typically found on store shelves. Tens of thousands of five-star reviewers can't be wrong. Simply place your order now to get 51% off along with many other free bonuses before they sell out by going to www.trimwithus.com. That's www.trimwithus.com. www.trimwithus.com. Order now.
Violent crime across the U.S. has skyrocketed. Between mass shootings, homicides, kidnappings, burglaries, and carjacking, it's never been more vital to learn how to protect yourself. This is why tens of thousands are choosing the Fighter Flare flashlight. The Fighter Flare flashlight includes an ultra-bright 800 lumen light, powerful strobe lighting modes for self-defense, a glass-breaking hammer, a built-in power bank, solar-powered recharging, rope and wire cutter, siren, high and low LED lighting modes, and much more. Simply place your order now to get 66% off along with many other free bonuses before they sell out by going to www.fighterflare.com. Order now at www.fighterflare.com.
A human catastrophe is closing in. Nobody knows how far this one is going to go. You can feel the heat as tension is rising globally. War is expensive. Open a Noble Gold Investments IRA today, and you can claim a free 3-ounce silver American Virtue coin. Just use the promo code GOLD. Go to NobleGoldInvestments.com now.
Past performance may not be indicative of future results. Investing in precious metals, including gold, involves risks. Consult with your tax attorney or financial professional before making an investment decision.
Quite often, people will align themselves with one ideology and then just stick to that because they feel that, you know, that's the only way they're going to be able to get the support of America. But, you know, I feel that America has reached a point where we're ready for people who are completely honest. We're ready for people who aren't politicians. I mean, we've got a couple hundred years of examples of what happens when you allow politicians and sociopaths, as you said, to run a government. At all levels, whether it's local, state, or federal, you have people who get involved not to represent people, not to give back contribute in some way, but just so that they can get those levers of power and perhaps rack up a couple of large pensions for when they retire.
Yeah. Well, I mean, government clearly gets worse the larger and farther away from you, that it is. It's kind of an unsolved problem. How do you check government, right? Because sort of the best experiment we've arguably seen in human history would be the founding of the United States.
Yes.
We see how it's turned out. And so full credit to them for this really admirable attempt. But I think we can tell that the shelf life certainly, it hasn't lasted, right? It did not, in terms of the principles that it set out to maintain, it failed in a number of them, I think is fair to say. And so it's like, all right, well, so how do we do this? You know, one of the things that I believe is that we're missing most fundamentally this ability for sort of different things to be done, different right. types of government, this ability for people to exit. You know, there's effectively it's not... I wouldn't say it's a world government in the way that some people would mean that, but like in the sense that like there's no space for anything new to be done, and there's mm-hmm. no space for someone to exit and say like I want to, even in not as necessarily as one individual, which may never be possible, but at least in a block of thousands, tens of thousands, 100,000 people, right? And to say like, look, it's a war, you know, how could we in this very large earth do, you know, because whether that's because they're Christian conservatives or whether that's because they're like woke trans crazy people, right? This is the one thing, because everyone has all these other groups that they hate, and there are some groups that I am not a Christian conservative, to be clear, and I'm not a woke trans crazy person. I'm more sympathetic to one of those groups than the others, the point is, like, I don't see everyone's important. So many people are oriented towards this dominance. I want to dominate the other group. To me, it's like, if I think you're crazy, like, please, like, let's give you, I don't know, Seattle. You get Seattle. and then you won't be near me. And right. you'll get, you know, we'll both get what we want. Like, I always seek the win-win in that regard. And that's part of why I'm also big on the libertarian in New Hampshire thing, because I think it's that same kind of approach where we're not trying to make the whole U.S. libertarian, this whole, which is a dominating thing to people who love their big government, who love all the stuff, so that's, I want, that's like, and then I can even be allies with, in a certain regard with like, with, if a communist says to me, all right, Jeremy, you know, I'll work with you to give the libertarians to Hampshire, we get Seattle. I'm like, all right, cool. Like, yeah, now we could be,
totally legit. Sounds good to me.
That's where I'm at with this stuff. That's one of my most like foundational beliefs, and then it would be really interesting to have things be more this way rather than this like homogenization of everything, where every culture is getting swallowed up and eaten by this one omnicultural thing, and I'm very, very against that. So,
well, I totally agree with you. You know, we've reached this point in America today where it's just so polarized, and you know, whatever side of the aisle you're on, it's almost like there's this feeling of desperation. Like, you know, the other side is going to completely destroy us. And, it really feels like, to me, you know, as a Christian conservative, feels like the left wants to completely erase any other culture or any other belief system than what they have. They need that monolithic train of thought so that people can be controlled. That's my opinion. And they would love it if the entire country was like Seattle. But one of the things that I love about America is that you have distinct regions, distinct dialects, distinct trains of thought. Through working together and coming together in like that, you know, proverbial melting pot type of scenario, which is what I was always told America was, you know, we can be a much better and a much stronger nation. But now it seems like there's no room for any of that. And that extends to, you know, discussion and discourse online. You know, I think that's why I got deleted from Twitter and YouTube and every other platform you can imagine. Yeah. Because, you know, people just don't tolerate it anymore. And I am always telling my viewers, you know, we need to be able to debate each other. You know, if you hold a position that's different from another person, then, you know, how can you defend it if you won't defend it? You know, you must be willing to talk to people and you must be willing to have a meeting of the minds. Otherwise, we are going to end up like communist China.
I completely agree with you. And it's one of the things that just probably like emotionally makes me the most disgusted by the like authoritarian woke people, because it's a pure dominance play. It's a pure dominance is what they want. And they do it in the name of tolerance, in the name of safety and protection and all. And it's like, no, you just have no respect for these people and you're willing to do anything to them. It's like, that's the way it looks to me as someone who is like, you know, and is what's actually like motivating that. And I don't know, man. Where are you at? Are you taking black pills, white pills? Are you hopeful?
I feel that I am a hopeful realist. So I'm down here in Florida. It's a fairly free state. The people that live around me, everybody's pretty based. They understand that America is going straight down the toilet, and there's some things that need to happen. You know, one of the major issues for me is election security and election integrity. And we have a purposefully broken system because both the Democrats and the Republicans benefit from it from time to time. So there's really no incentive for anyone to fix it. But right now, I believe that in the midterms, we have a really significant opportunity to elect a lot of people who have not traditionally been politicians, people who are just upset about this failed and broken system that's been hoisted upon them for decades, their entire lives in some cases. And perhaps once we get past the midterms and we elect people like you and a lot of other people out there that never wanted to get in politics, but are only now doing it because it's so awful and we have to do something to fight it. I am very hopeful about the future, but I know that America is going on down a dark path. And if something isn't done to fix it, then there's a distinct possibility we might lose the whole thing.
Yeah. Lose the whole thing. Are you against? How do you feel about national divorce? Is that where
national divorce is something that I have spoken about on the channel on a number of occasions. I would prefer that did not happen.
Okay.
Because, you know, I just feel like there's a psychological component there, and it would make it easier in the future for a full-scale kinetic war to take place. Like if you've got, you know, if the left takes California, Washington, and Oregon, for example, and then they've got New York over here on the East Coast, and then the rest of America, the heartland, essentially is you know, the original United States of America. I think there's going to be a lot of tension, and it's a dangerous thing that could take place. However, with that being said, your use of the example of Seattle and Portland are nearly lost causes, okay? So I don't know what it would take to fix that. But my hope, Jeremy, is that the rational, sane people who still live in these areas are going to make that decision to get activated. You know, one thing the left has had on the right for a long time was activism and the ability to come together. And even if they didn't have the numbers, you know, just the noise and forcing their views on people and, you know, people abdicating their position because they just don't want to deal with the insanity. But I think that, you know, and for, this is my opinion from, you know, interacting with my viewers and having certain people on the show. You know, there are movements that are quickly gaining strength and have been for a long time to put average everyday Americans, people who are just patriots and want to make sure that the country doesn't fail into positions of power. Things like, you know, the Constitution of States. I've had a number of people on from Constitution of States. My friend Dan Schultz from the Precinct Strategy, he's going to be on tonight. A lot of my viewers have specifically gotten involved in that way. You know, it's my opinion that if we're going to fix that failed and corrupt system, then we have to replace those people who we allowed to control it. You know, for many years, I think a lot of people have just been so focused on the minutiae of daily life. You know, you've got your family, your job, you know, keeping your house up, you know, ensuring that your bills are paid. And people were focused on those things. It's just basic survival. And at the same time, the powers that be make it harder and harder and harder for us to survive so that we really can't pay attention to all of the stuff that's happening in the public sphere. And that's one of the reasons that I do the show is so that I can bring issues to people and highlight certain things. It's why I call myself the corruption detector, because corruption is endemic in so many places, not just the government, but, you know, business, banking, industry, all of it.
Right on.
I don't know if that answers your question.
No, that's great. I'm feeling inspired. I mean, no, good. I love it. I mean, no, I mean, I'm also like very hopeful. We're probably coming at it from like slightly different ways, but you know, wanting similar ends.
Yeah.
Like I'm totally on board with, you know, like, so I'm probably a stronger proponent of the national divorce type stuff, but I'm, you know, stronger federalism, you know, going back to that kind of idea. To me, it's like because I totally agree that like having like, and this is one where some libertarians would disagree with me. I recognize that, but like, I am not opposed to that sort of sense of like, you know, national pride or homeland pride. I think that's a healthy feeling. I think that's good. I think, you know, I think that encourages you to in that. Too often that good impulse is taken to do bad things with wars and stuff. And again, you'd agree
absolutely
with me, I'm sure.
Yeah.
You know, but I think the impulse is a good one. We just need to keep it, you know, oriented towards, you know, self-defense and defending ourselves. But I'm with you. And I think that that's the best hope, because I think that it's not like the if you look at where some of these other people are ideologically, like I do not like, I'm post-persuasion. I'm in that class where like, we have to be realistic about the fact that these two sides are not going to persuade one another.
I agree.
Like there's the, you know, and so where do we go from there? Or is this just both sides constantly fighting to dominate one another through democracy with these people in the middle who, you know, might not be wholly one way or the other, mm-hmm. you know? Because that's dumb.
I'm fully with you. I know there is a certain percentage of the population that is, you know, unmovable from whatever beliefs they hold right now. I will say this, Jeremy, as distressing as it was in 2020 to watch the election be stolen, in my opinion, I believe that Joe Biden sitting in the White House, the decisions he's made, the decisions made by this administration, has probably woken more people up than anything I could have done on my own. You know, we have seen so quickly how, you know, worse policy than we're used to being implemented has just quickly degraded the power and readiness and economic strength of the United States of America. You know, and it's crazy to watch as essentially our own borders are left unprotected. You know, our own people are ignored and abandoned. And then at the same time, we're sending hundreds of millions of dollars to Ukraine. We are still engaged in conflicts abroad. We're training mercenaries and sending them into places to go after people. And we're leaving $85 billion in brand new weapons for the Taliban to just, you know, run amok. what was the point? Why were we there that whole time?
Yeah, yeah. Well, now you're taking me in the opposite direction. Now you're making me sad again. I thought we were happy and optimistic.
It's a roller coaster. Here's the thing. You know, I mean, I understand. I understand, you know, the pull of the black pill. I mean, stuff is bad. I'm not going to lie. It's been worse, though, I think. I think that America has gone through darker times. We have persevered, and we have. I'm sure you are you familiar with the concept of the fourth turning?
Yeah, I am,
yeah. So this like cyclical nature that we have in society and in this nation, and you know across the world. But you know, I mean, we have ebbs and flows of prosperity and freedom and you know liberty and prosperity. It's just you know over and over and over again. It goes from good to bad because you know good men get complacent and then the tyrants move in to try to take advantage of that. And then people wake up and they realize that they have to be involved and they have to take part in this system because we cannot trust other people to run it. You know, we have to be actively engaged with our government if our constitutional republic is going to survive. So yeah. As bad as it is, I reject the concept of going black-pilled because I know that if I believe everything is lost and there's no point, well, damn near I'm going to manifest that, you know, here in the world. People have to have hope. They have to believe that we can persevere. Otherwise, I mean, if you believe that you're not going to do it or that you're going to fail, then, you know, that's what's going to happen. You know, if I walk into, a class and I'm taking a math test and I'm like, I'm totally going to fail this. And, you know, I'm just that's probably what's going to happen. If I walk outside every day thinking I'm probably going to get into a car accident, I'm sure it's going to happen one of these days. And if I think that government is lost, the United States of America has already fallen, and I just sit back, watch TV and consume everything that they're trying to shove down my throat, then there you go. That's it. It's over.
Yeah. 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 But I'll say that like one on the, you know, and certainly that happens to plenty of people, but I think one of the things like, you know, governments have never been great throughout human history. Right.
Yeah.
And what's generally made things better is human ingenuity and mm-hmm. human perseverance and human hard work, you know, over time, over generations, you know, and this is why, even with government, you know, as terrible and so many things terrible, like it's tough to say that things aren't at the same time, like kind of better than ever or pretty close to as good as they've ever been, you know, like, you know, and now through technology, we have this ability to do things like this. We have this ability, to form these networks, of people, online and through the internet, and these networks can also, you know, spread into the real world and become mm-hmm. real world networks and real world things. So this is definitely one of the things, that gives me, you know, a lot of hope. Yeah.
So absolutely.
Yeah.
So let's talk about New Hampshire a little bit. So, you know, how is the race going and who are the people that you're running against? I don't know if the primary has happened yet, but as a libertarian, I would imagine that, you know, you are the candidate. You're going to be on the ballot in November.
I am the candidate. I'm going to be on the ballot in November. I'm running up against a very establishment, like center left Democrat named Maggie Hassan. She's got over $5 million banked, which is a ton of money, especially for New Hampshire, which has a population of, you know, 1.3 million or something like this.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, right. So it's a small state. The Republican is very much undecided. So we won't know for another 3 weeks. And I don't want to like start going through all of them. From my perspective, there's one that's pretty decent, and then three that are all very, you know, all very flawed in terms of, you know, pro war would just be establishment, you know, type pro Republicans. But I'm not someone who says that there's no difference, no difference between those things or anything like that. But like, you know, campaign's going very well. New Hampshire generally is going very well. And my campaign and all of this, it's all a part of that, right? There's this free state movement where there's dozens of us in the state legislature, or over 40. Mm-hmm. These are like Ron Paul type libertarians,
good,
you know, principled people that are very committed to liberty. And there's this whole movement. There's all these organizations. There's a think tank that writes papers. There's this organization that like grades bills and whips votes, and like it's really there's this really cool political machine that's pro liberty, that moves things in the right direction.
It's beautiful.
That feels like it's kind of like accelerating, and it's really, really cool. And I think the Free State Project deserves, you know, sort of a lot of credit, or is behind a lot of that. It's all this individual effort, right? They don't coordinate it, but it's all these people who have come here. Thousands and thousands of people have moved here specifically to basically do this. So it's a pretty interesting thing. So, for anyone out there who is ever, you know, who is interested in this kind of thing, can come for a visit and check out New Hampshire. We have an event every year called Pork Fest, which a lot of people have heard of. Thousands of people come out every summer, but you can come out any time of year. Like the calendar's packed. There's always like liberty stuff happening. Come and visit New Hampshire.
So is it fairly affordable to live in New Hampshire?
It's pretty affordable, more affordable than the rest of the Northeast. Like tax wise, it's one of the lowest total tax burdens. Total cost of living, I think it ends up being in the like tens overall in states, because housing is still a little expensive. Everything else is cheap, is very affordable, though. It's really just housing is like about average overall statewide, countrywide, which kind of sucks, but overall it's not it's pretty good. And are you a Florida native, or are you did you move there for political, are you a political refugee?
I am a political refugee of Michigan.
Okay.
So I was born in Michigan, 1978, and I moved to Boulder, Colorado, right after high school for a summer, basically kind of testing the waters, and then went back to Michigan, and then went to San Diego for a year. I was in Massachusetts first for a year, and then I moved to San Diego for a year, and then I was a new father. And so we came back to Michigan, and I was there, up until 1 year ago, basically. Bought this house in August of last year and then moved here in November. And I absolutely love it. You know, I am somebody who appreciates the seasons. So I definitely liked winters up in Michigan, but both my knees are blown out. I can't ski anymore. So I'm happy to give that up so that I can float in the ocean. But, you know, it's night and day going from Michigan to Florida. And I love it. You know, I mean, I'm not kidding when I say that everybody here is based. I mean, like my neighbors are all on point. We all know the issues. And when I was in Michigan, you know, I mean, if they would have known what I do, my house would have been firebombed. You know, I mean, like we're talking about just like virulent, violent leftist radicals, just absolutely insane people.
Yeah, no, so full credit to you, man. Congratulations. Such a great call. I mean, this is the way. I heard someone call it the era of base states. Mm-hmm. is what we're headed into, because this is the way. And Florida is one of the few states, if someone says they moved to Florida over New Hampshire, I'm like, all right, I got it. That's cool. That's cool. You know, all right, I got it. But if people, you know, check them out. I mean, you know, New Hampshire's got to be on the list of people if you're thinking about moving. If you're a libertarian specifically, by the way, like we're not 100%, but I think there's we have lots of Christian libertarians. In fact, actually, you want a little culture war drama story?
Absolutely.
This is one we're going through right now. Okay, so there's a free stater who is a Christian conservative. Who compiled this list, probably a little autistic too, because he compiled a very detailed list of 900 churches in New Hampshire. He went through every church and like did like research and collected and provided details on like where they were at socially, purely informatively. Like he did a really good job. It was not judgmental in any way, but it was stuff like, you know, what did they fly a BLM flag?
Sure.
Did they have a pride flag? You know, just quite reasonably. This is meaningful information if you're seeking out a church, because you want to know where they're at.
Absolutely.
And you can guess probably already exactly what the screeching lefties did in response to this list. They're facilitating terrorism. They are making it dangerous for us. They're like, we put on a website the fact that you have a flag that you're literally hanging in the front of your church.
It's like public information.
and it's not derogatory. It wasn't like this church is bad. It was like 900 churches, super calm. And it's like, and it's insane. And of course, several of the press institutions in New Hampshire, pick it up and run with it.
Right. Yeah.
But the thing is, despite all this, and this is why we're just like winning anyway. Like you can go on to the Facebook post for the newspaper article and it's like people are just making fun of the newspaper.
Right.
And so
seeing it.
Yeah. So it's like, one million or whatever, but it's one that just happened today. And but at the same time, it's like, it's actually making me like, it only makes me more hopeful, even though it's like shitty at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
So.
So are you not a New Hampshire native? Did you move from?
I'm from Philadelphia originally.
Oh gosh.
I moved. suburbs. I did live in West Philadelphia proper. I live like in an area where during the BLM riots, like they were like flipping cop cars and shit. Like lived there.
Were you there years. While that was happening? Or
No. I got out. I got out in 2016,
good for you.
And have been up here raising a family, and I'm very happy with it. You know, I'm big on and that's actually I'm a great. How old are your kids?
My daughter's 21.
Oh, okay.
I'm basically retired.
Yeah. Well, I think anyone who has younger kids or is going to have kids, like. It's not just the schools, and you're not going to fix the schools by passing a law. Like that's not going to be in it. It's just not going to work. Right.
Right.
You have got to kind of select a community for yourself or do it for yourself. You can't rely, you know, I just think that doesn't mean, I'm not saying that there aren't public schools out there that are good. I'm not saying every public school is bad, but like you can't fix it through a law at the state level. You have got to go and find one. You know, you've got to do that.
Yeah. Parents getting involved with school boards and holding them accountable is obviously huge. And woke indoctrination of our children through the infiltration of these leftist, alphabet people coming into, positions of teaching. It's a major danger. And I'm sure you're familiar with Libs of TikTok. She's great. You know, just exposing these people from their own public posts. And in the same way, you know, the leftist radicals are just, you know, absolutely up in arms about it. But do you homeschool your children or do you have a good school in a district that you trust?
So my oldest just turned 5. So we are not sending him to school yet. He takes a couple of classes now, and we're still kind of figuring all that out. There's a bunch of options from like full-time alternative schooling here towards there's a lot that's available kind of a la carte, which I guess people still like consider homeschooling, but to me it's like if my kid is with a professional 10. Yeah. So I guess we're probably going to be homeschooling for several years because I don't think we're going to send him to a full-time school for several years, but he's probably going to be going to a variety of things. He's hanging out like today. He'll be with like 12 or 14 other kids at some play meetup, that my wife takes them all out.
Keeping the socialization up. You know, this was always like the number one, complaint from public schools when I was a kid, if you homeschool your child, they're going to be socially deficient and they're not going to know how to interact with people. But, there's obviously a number of different ways that you can still interact with other kids. And, not to mention the child is interacting with their family on a daily basis. I think that's a great decision. I have very little faith in the public school system. I went to private school as a child. And there was no indoctrination, as far as I'm aware. I didn't. They were pretty on point with everything. But, you know, in today's world, it's just simply just too dangerous, I think, to put the education of your child into somebody else's hands. Because, again, this is an institution that traditionally we've been taught we could trust here in America. But they've shown us just very, very just insanely exposing themselves in recent years. The fact that we simply can't. I was actually just reached out to by a viewer of the show. She's in New York. She did not go to public school her entire life. She was homeschooled. She's brilliant, and she's currently working on a project in her community in New York to create, like, I guess, you know, a standardized curriculum of sorts for people who want to homeschool their kids. So, you know, the lesson plans and all of that, obviously the parents are going to be working on that, but there's going to be, you know, certain things that they want to make sure that the kids are educated on. But more than anything, you know, it's just ensuring that they're successful and that they're going to be able to go on and, you know, be a contributing member of society. Civics is something that is not taught in schools anymore. And again, I think that's by design.
Yeah, absolutely. I think yeah, this stuff is definitely the future. I mean, we have a pretty decent school choice program here. The head of our Department of Education is a homeschooled all seven of his kids. Not a single one of them went to public school. And he actually is like goes to events, or has his department go to events, like teaching parents like how they can get their kids out of public schools. So we're doing our best here. Because they are, at least here, they're the biggest power base of the sort of progressive authoritarian left. It's like, it's the schools. I mean, one of the towns cut the school budget by in half.
Oh, wow.
And they got hit pieces elevated all the way to the New York Times level and NPR level of national attention on this town of 600 people.
What?
To create such, or 600? Yeah, it's around 600. Created such a furor that they convened another special meeting to undo, but it took all this huge national level spotlight. They thrust it on this small town to stop them from losing someone. But it's like crazy. That's what I'm saying. It's like crazy stuff that's been going on here. Like,
well, they have to indoctrinate everyone. I mean, it doesn't matter if there's only a handful of students there. I mean, probably they think it's easier to get in at the ground floor and be able to pump out the type of people that they want. So what do you think is the most pressing issue that the people of New Hampshire are facing?
I mean, big picture, it's definitely like inflation and costs. This is a root cause of all the problems. Everyone just went through it, right? If it was a year ago, I would say COVID, but people have short memories. I wish they cared more. But right now, the thing that you've got to meet people where they are, what do people care about? And that's entirely the government's fault. The government did that. It's not that hard to explain why or how the government did that, right? So I think that's like, if you're just having, you know, a conversation with sort of I think that's like the number one thing to be like hitting and hammering home on, because it's both of them as well. Like it's all the Democrats and most of the Republicans, you know, that are completely on board with all of it. I think that's definitely the top thing to emphasize, but it might be other things. It might be other things for other people. With my campaign, which is a bit of a different goal, right? Like for us, if we're getting even to 4%, that's a decent victory, because that gets us ballot access for the future, and it lets us get some positions actually lower down. Trying to get people who are frustrated by the system entirely, who think the whole thing is dumb. A lot of these people have a libertarian ethos. It's kind of smart to not care, you know, like honestly,
Right.
Like to not care.
Ignorance
it's not
bliss.
An irrational. It's not an irrational choice, right? There's a sense in which you can criticize that person. You're saying, hey, you're defecting from this thing that, you know, we're expecting. It's the equivalent of like littering or whatever. So you can try to shame them and say, don't do that. You're obligated to. But it's not irrational. You know, it's not, I don't know. I can't really shame. I don't, you know, it's like, what are the odds that my vote affects something? It's just going to be some corrupt person either way. You know, so why even do it? Like I have a lot of sympathy for that attitude. And I think a lot of those people like there's so many people who don't vote. Right. And, you know, in the midterms, I don't know, will we even hit 50% in the average midterm election?
Well, do you know how many people in New Hampshire are registered to vote and what percentage of those actually do?
New Hampshire. So in the 2020 election, which was high everywhere, New Hampshire hit like 70%. New Hampshire is a pretty civically minded state, you know, over on average. You know, it's like it's a lot of people who are like, you know, I want to do the right thing. I want to be a good neighbor. They're kind of live and let live, but they're civically minded. And so a lot of them do vote. A lot of them are so old fashioned that they'll split tickets. You believe that? That's still a thing up here.
So did people trust the results of the 2020 election? I mean, was there any appearance of impropriety? I mean, certainly in some states we had situations where votes were just being flipped. Michigan, for example, Antrim County, it's an easy one to look at. All of the votes for Donald Trump were flipped to Joe Biden, and that's the only reason anybody knew that something had happened. But was there any type of issues like that in New Hampshire?
Yeah. So in terms of the attitude of people here around here, I would say that it's mostly trustworthy. Although there are some candidates that are against it, there was one incident that's very clearly documented, like not even disputed, that was on the order of like around 100 or a couple hundred votes were like lost or miscounted or fraudulently. Or yeah, I'm actually not exactly sure of what the malfeasance or mistake was, but it was on the order of around a couple hundred votes. Everyone accepts that this happened, not disputed. Yeah. I'm not aware of anything like larger than that. I do know that, you know, New Hampshire is one of the states that people point to, and there's way more, like Biden won the state, but Republicans won, governor won everything down ticket, swept everything down ticket. They swept the Senate, they swept the House, they swept, we have this thing called the Executive Council, and they won governor like 60 plus to under 30 in New Hampshire, Republican, and Biden won the state. So that's certainly a disparity.
That seems interesting.
Yeah. But I think there actually are a lot of people who vote Democrat.
Do you know what the results were in 2016 in between Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump? Did Hillary Clinton take New Hampshire at that time, or Donald Trump? I don't remember off the top of my head.
Hillary Clinton did. New Hampshire was not a particularly friendly there's plenty of people up here who love Trump, but I think overall New Hampshire was less favorable to Trump than other states. There were, cause a lot of the Republicans are, both the Republican and the Democratic Party are different up here. Like there's a decent amount of Democrats who are still, you know, good on guns. Mm-hmm. Not the majority of them, but some, and so the Republicans, a lot of them are of the, like, very much did not like the Trump, the way he conducted himself and that kind of thing. I thought Trump exposed a ton of stuff.
Me too.
Well, Trump red pilled me a little bit, honestly, in terms of seeing,
I love hearing that.
I had, if anything, a little bit of concerns. I didn't vote for Clinton, who I also thought was terrible, but like I was not, I did not vote for Trump in 2016. And I thought like I was a little bit worried about what a Trump presidency would look like. It was pretty clearly like I don't think it was particularly good, but it wasn't like anything like they're just saying the craziest stuff. And I was like, how could you go around saying, how are you saying that? Which then had the effect on me of like, just like, even if he policy-wise, I don't think he was particularly good, but it ended up making me like him just because he made these people who I thought were who just made these people look so bad and disgusting and gross. And it ended up like making me just like have a more positive affinity, towards him. He's kind of funny, you know, these kinds of things. I think he was, I just wish he was like anything like this image of him. Like I would love it. I would take someone who has some bad policy issues if they actually gutted the administrative state, if they actually went in there with a wrecking ball. I could disagree with you on a ton of things if you would actually do that. Mm-hmm. And none of that, none of that happened. It's not clear to me that it's possible. I'm not saying it's some easy task. Like Trump should have just done this one thing, but like it would be a real slight. It would be a hell of a fight to do it. But like it didn't happen. He got played, quite frankly, or he never tried. He either got played or he never tried because it didn't happen.
I think that there, first of all, I love Donald Trump. When he first walked down that escalator, you know, he appealed to me because, again, he wasn't a politician. And I know that Hillary Clinton's a murderer, so I wasn't going to vote for her. And hearing him speak to the people I really got behind him very early on and was super excited. And yes, I didn't agree with him on everything on policy, but I think that overall he really showed us what was possible if you had strong, effective leadership, you know, somebody who was interested in representing the American people. He came into office. I mean, I remember when Obama was elected, all of this stuff was supposed to happen, and it just didn't. And then President Trump comes into office and he conducted himself like a boss. we needed somebody who wasn't going to be afraid to say what they thought and to push for, the things that were going to help America. We didn't get everything. We certainly didn't get the gutting of the administrative state. That's something that I am a large proponent of. And I'm hoping that if we do get Trump 2.0, that's something that's going to happen. I mean, look at the abuses of power that we're seeing right now in the FBI and the DOJ.
What do you think we got? To me, the biggest wins of the Trump presidency would be things like cultural shifts or like things getting exposed. Yep. I don't see like what else did like, which is fine. I guess I'll give you some credit for that. But like, what else did you get?
Well, the economy was roaring for one, but I absolutely agree with you. I think that cultural shift was the biggest thing. And, it always seems like there is this pattern in presidencies, where you've got the first term, perhaps you've got opposition from the other side, people who don't necessarily back the person in the office of the presidency. Maybe we got a lot of rhinos in the Republican Party. I'll give you that. But more than anything, it was Trump. To me, it was Trump versus that administrative state, the failed and corrupt establishment that did not want to see him succeed and were actively standing in his way. Suddenly Democrats and Republicans are agreeing on stuff because it's just going against Trump. So I was hoping that in the second administration that things were going to be drastically different because, at that point, you don't have to worry about being reelected and perhaps you can come in with a heavier hand. And I'm not saying I want, fascism or tyranny in any respect, but we're approaching that already with the current government we have. And this is why I'm so stoked about the midterms, because it's going to lay the foundation with people who will be in both houses of Congress that want the same thing I do, which is strong leadership and an end to the corruption. I think we have to completely gut the federal government. There are a number of agencies we just need to get rid of. 87,000 IRS agents. Give me a break. That's more than doubling the size of the agency. And those people are not going to be going after the millionaires or the billionaires. I mean, that's so that they can more easily come and audit just about every single person that's out there.
Yeah, yeah. Well, all right. Well, I hope you're right. I probably got to wrap it up pretty soon. Okay. So is there anything else you want to cover?
No. That's basically it. Well, just one more question. How about for you personally, representing New Hampshire, what's the most important issue for you?
For like selfishly?
Well,
what's the most important?
You can answer. I want to deliver
for my, for my constituents, right? Like in terms of like, well, how do I achieve success, right? It would be that way.
Yeah.
And the thing is, as one senator, you can't probably do that like directly, right? Like I can't, it's not like I can act like I can pass a law, right? But what I will do as someone who I think it's very clear, like, well, you know, we'll push the envelope. I will do that on behalf of New Hampshire, right? Like I am going to be a New Hampshire first senator. I want government out of our way. Okay. And I will do everything in my power. I can't, of course, say, you know, like I investigated whether I could make a campaign promise that I would start an insider trading fund that paid out to the people of New Hampshire based off of my congressional knowledge. And I learned that it's illegal to go around saying that. So I can't actually go around saying that anymore. But the point is, I'm thinking of ideas like this, right? So you know, we'll find out a way. I will do whatever I can for New Hampshire to stop the federal government. I will not let the bad guys win. You know, that's what I want to do. We'll have fun with it, right? We'll do things that will, you know, like I'm not going to be one of those weak people in there. So
good.
All right, man.
So tell everybody where they can find you, and that's we'll wrap it up.
So you can go to my campaign website, jeremy4nh.com, number four. I've got some really great videos on there. You can also find those videos on my YouTube channel, on my Odyssey channel, which is Kaufman, at Kaufman, K-A-U-F-F-M-A-N. I'm also active on Twitter, Jeremy Kaufman. Thanks for having me on. Follow me in any of those places. We're having a lot of fun with the campaign, and I'd love if you became part of it.
All right. Thanks for your time, Jeremy. I appreciate it. And good luck in November. We'll see you. All right, guys. Thanks for hanging out with us today. I hope you enjoyed that interview with Jeremy Kaufman. If you are a libertarian or a conservative or even a leftist that just happens to be watching my channel, hopefully you got something out of it. You know, the only way that the United States can survive is if we continue to hold our elected representatives to account. And I think the Free State Movement, the Free State Project, is actually an excellent way to go ahead and do that. Hopefully in the future, I'll be having some more reporting on that specifically. And if you are in New Hampshire or any place else and happen to be part of the Free State Project, please feel free to reach out to me and we can have a conversation. I'm going to leave you with one final campaign video from Jeremy. I hope that you enjoy it because I think that it really encapsulates the hypocrisy that we're seeing on both sides of the aisle and the types of issues that are just being thrust upon us on a daily basis that have no basis in objective reality or logical thought. Thanks again, Jeremy, for being here. And thank you all at home. We'll see you next time.
Picture this. Innocent people in the Middle East. They're having dinner. A bomb is dropped on their house. And they're all killed. What's the problem with this? It's being done by white men. I am Jeremy Kaufman, the Chief Diversity Officer at Halliburton and candidate for United States Senate. It is time to diversify the murderous military-industrial complex. We need to make the nukes gay. And that's why I'm running for office. Like my fellow Democrats and Republicans, I will support every war. I will support stealing billions of dollars from Americans to kill innocent people. But we are gonna make it so gay. It will go down in the history books. We will say never have so many genders and so many races killed innocent people. Let's bomb Yemen. But let's make sure a rainbow of skin colors are dropping those bombs. These are going to be the gayest, transest murders the United States has ever performed. That's what I stand for as the Chief Diversity Officer at Halliburton. And that's what I'll do once elected to the United States Senate. I'm Jeremy Kaufman, and I'm gay for this message. I'm serious.